Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family to come join us. Come and learn with us. Come and visit our website, www.cityonahill.tv, and go to the blog talk where you will hear years and years of podcasts, a wonderful podcast on so many different issues. And tonight, we're so proud to have Mr. Dan Fraley with us to talk about the very dear land of Israel. It is the apple of God's eyes, and Israel is really a sign for us. But as always, we like to start the show off in prayer. So, Mr. Dan, I'm going to start us off in prayer, if that's all right.
That'd be great.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that you are God. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. Lord, there is so much to know about you, but Lord, the best thing we should know about you is how great your love is. that you did not withhold even your son. And Heavenly Father, we just ask that during these times when, Lord, there's so many voices out there that's calling, sounding a wake-up call, an alarm to wake up the country, that, Lord, many people will heed it. And that, Lord, we just thank you, though, for your word says you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so, Lord, we ask that you get our families ready. We ask that you get our nation ready. We ask that you get other nations ready, Christians ready, and that, Lord, we would be about your business, getting ready for Heavenly Father when that time comes. And Heavenly Father, there will be no more time for making a choice. And so, Lord, Heavenly Father, help us in this conversation tonight to just wake people up so that they, too, will realize the sign of the times. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Mr. Dan, it is, I mean, really, it should be, it's kind of bittersweet, isn't it? It's kind of scary for a lot of people, but then there's the other side that, you know, you think, well, this has been talked about, and it's been talked about as something that's got to happen before the end comes. So there's two sides to the story, but we're so grateful because I've always thought this, that lately I have been thinking about this, that, you know, God is our Heavenly Father is such a good, loving God. He is more loving than anybody in the entire universe that has ever lived or, you know, or has had a presence. Just like a father, a parent warns the children, there's no doubt in my mind that he is, you know, has been giving us little bits and pieces, teaching us, warning us. And so we're here today kind of almost feel like I'm on the precipice. You know, I've heard it said that ISIS was a JV team by President Barack Obama. But we are seeing, unfortunately, them gaining in strength. So that's one of the things that, you know, people are really, really, I think, very astonished at. But anyway, I'm going to let you go ahead and take over and just really talk about what it is that you would like the listeners to hear and to prepare for.
Well, first of all, you know, we have heard for years that we are in the last days, and recently we've been hearing that we're in the last of the last days, but I say we're getting into a period that we should be calling the extreme last days because things are happening so rapidly. Islam is no doubt the religion that has been taken over by the dragon to fulfill the prophecies here in the last days, and you can read about it in Ezekiel 38, Psalms 2, but there's no doubt that we know that most of the evil that's going to come against Israel and the persecution of Christians in other parts of the world is going to be through Islam. Now, right here in this country, what worries me and what I've heard in the news just this past week is they're allowing the Muslim Brotherhood to form a political party, and Obama seems to be spearheading it through Chicago, and of course it's in Washington also stemming up. And this is what's happened to a lot of the countries in Europe. If we can look back a little bit further, Lebanon, and a lot of people don't realize that Lebanon used to be a Christian nation until they started tolerating Islam and allowing Islam to get into its government. And what happens is political nepotism. Once you get an Islamic leader in office to the point where he can be persuasive or hire or whatever, he's going to hire like-minded people or vote like-minded or stimulate the vote of like-minded people to be in the office with him. So it just was a matter of time when Lebanon got taken over. And then once once Islam has taken over, then the extremist factions begin to take over. And that's what we're seeing a lot right now. ISIS seems to be very, very evil, and it is. But it's just the beginning of the signs, because what is ISIS trying to do? They're trying to form a caliphate where they'll have the say-so in the leadership in all the Muslim world. And all the Muslims in the world are looking for their caliphate so that they can be under one leadership, because according to the Quran, a caliphate has to be in power and all of Islam in one accord before their Messiah can come, ISIS, their chosen, or their, we're looking for the second coming of Yeshua, the Messiah, but they're looking for basically the same Messiah. They don't call him Yeshua or Jesus, they call him ISIS, which is kind of strange because the very name of this group is, you know, sounds a lot like it, ISIS. But I think that what's going to happen with what just happened about burning the pilot, the Jordanian pilot, in a cage has kind of upset a lot of the Muslim nations, and I think there'll be, I don't know if ISIS is going to come to even a stronger power. I doubt it. I think that they will probably be weaned back a little bit and some other group take over. I'm not sure, but the way I understand prophecy and the way I read the things into the scriptures, it seems like prophetically the caliphate will probably come out of Turkey, the leader of the Muslim nations, kind of like the prophecy in Revelations where it said the beast would revive from a wounded head wound. Well, that could fit the Ottoman Turks, which we never have heard much about because it's not taught in school, but they were a formidable empire that lasted for over 200 years. And, of course, they were in World War One. They were their power was taken away from them. The caliphate was destroyed. But if this caliphate is reestablished and all the Muslims in the world answer to one calling, whatever he says goes. And if he is a radical, and I think he will be, probably much more than even what we see in ISIS today, we're gonna see a lot worse happening upon this globe. So what we're seeing, the beginnings of the birth pains right now, and it's very bad and it's very evil, but it's going to get worse than it's ever been before, according to the scriptures, since the beginning of time.
Well, Mr. Dan, I was just thinking, you know, one of the things that they're saying is, you know, when the king of Jordan was angered because of, you know, what was just shown when he was here, and he left, you know, soon after, I think from a meeting with President Obama. I wonder, Mr. Dan, if the anger wasn't partially to the president and the United States, because ISIS wouldn't be this powerful had the policies of this administration been right.
Yeah,
and in a way, it's put all up in danger.
Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine if Ronald Reagan was in power right now, would ISIS be doing what it's doing right now? I highly doubt it. I think it would already, he would have put his foot down and it would have been stopped. We would have completely taken out their strongholds. I don't know what the problem with Obama is. I don't know what the problem with the United Nations is. I don't know what the problem is with England or the European Union. And it took something like a Jordanian pilot to get burned, humiliated. And by the way, being burned as a Muslim is a very disrespectful thing. It was a slap in the face to a lot of Islamic nations. But yes, they are very highly upset with America because, this could have been nipped in the bud in the beginning, but if we just continually let it go on and we we kind of just slap them on the wrist once in a while. And then just this week, we let more Guantanamo detainees loose. It just doesn't make sense to me. Of course, we all know that those of us who are spirit-filled people, we know the agenda of Satan, and we know that Satan has got a leader in our country that I don't like that. Never in my life have ever talked about the president of my country, because I've always supported my country leadership. But this man seems to be doing everything that he possibly can to distort the honor of this country and to make us look weak to the rest of the world.
Oh, indeed. And even Newt Gingrich, I heard Newt Gingrich say the other night, Mr. Dan, that, you know, really it is the duty, you know, it's what they swore to do, is really to defend, you know, us, the citizens of this nation. And what they have done instead, what Obama administration has done instead, was really put the nation at risk. So, you know, he's failed in his job. He has just, I guess if you had to change it from the different colors, you know how they used to have colors for when you ratchet up the nuclear arms race, right? It's got to be at the very top. I mean, because it's almost like it's just a matter of time before something happens in this country.
Yeah, with our borders as open as they are, and our leadership even promoting it more so to be open, we're going to see something happen. I was surprised that something didn't happen like during the Super Bowl, there has to be ISIS sleeper cells in this country established already, and things are going to happen. And it's a frightening thing. But these are things that are going to happen. I mean, we cannot be liberated from the tribulations that's coming upon the world through ISIS unless we do something about it rapidly. One of the things that upsets me, we're talking about, you know, getting back to Israel, is Obama's lack of support for Israel and actual disdain for Israel. And it seems like even to the point of hatred to Benjamin Netanyahu, and I don't understand this. He's even sending one of his political advisors that helped get him elected to Israel to try to suppress Benjamin Netanyahu getting elected again. Why would he care? What is so frightening to him about Israel, and why is he treating Israel so poorly? It doesn't make sense to me. They're our number one ally in the Middle East, and they are pretty much the buffer or the protector of the West, being on the front lines like they are. It just doesn't make sense that we haven't kept a strong political tie with that nation, and his administration breaking away from it the way they are. It doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't. Mr. Dan, I heard a talk show yesterday talk about the problem with America. It's kind of like the same, I think, observation from Alexis de Tocqueville as to where you know, why is America great? What made for a great America? And the secret to America's success was in its pulpit, you know, was in its churches. And in this show that was speaking yesterday, you know, they really lay the blame on what's happening to America, again, in the pulpit, where success comes from. So also the demise is in the pulpit. It's in the churches. And but I do think that I think majority of Americans that are Christians love Israel. So I'm thinking that they really, that love for Israel and how Israel is basically under attack ought to make, I think, the pastors speak out and go beyond their comfort zones, because I'm thinking, you know, in a way, we're almost defined by how we treat Israel.
Well, just recently, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, and the Northern Diocese of the Methodist Church have all spoken sanctions against Israel. They're not reading their Bibles very well, it seems to me, because those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse her will be cursed. Even the Christians in this country, it seems to me mostly the evangelicals support Israel 100% and are concerned about Israel. But how many of our churches pray for Israel, when that's one of the things the Bible asks us to do, is to pray for the peace of Israel? It seems like we've kind of tuned them out. I think if ever before we needed to pray for Israel and to support them, it would be now. And not only that, how many Christians are actually praying for the complete body of Christ? How many churches, I get a little bit of eyesight from the different kinds of churches, because I go in as a Gideon speaker and see the different congregations, but I never hear in their prayers, you know, when they have prayer requests and they bring the prayer and the petitions before the throne of God, do I ever hear the body of Christ, those that are being persecuted in North Africa and the Middle Eastern countries or in Europe, or are the Jews being persecuted anywhere in the world? I don't hear them being prayed for, but if ever there needs to be intercessory prayer done, it's right now in these days for those that are in our body that are on the front lines that are up against this onslaught of Satan. And we've got to consider the Jews, the Israelis, as part of the body, because they were blinded by God. And their eyes will be opened, and their salvation will come in a day when the Messiah comes. And they were blinded for our purpose, so that the Gentiles could be grafted onto the Commonwealth of Israel. So we can't ignore them, and I think it is our duty to support them in our prayer.
Oh, indeed, Mr. Dan, and I think, you know, the gospel is the gospel is the gospel. And it's like Mr. Wayne Wood, you know, Pastor Wayne used to say, you know, we have compartmentalized things, you know. Oh, we can pray about certain things, but we can't pray about all things, you know. Always, there's certain things that seems to be acceptable to pray for, you know, I guess like global warming. and you know, but it's not acceptable to pray for, as you're saying, you know, Israel is not, and, you know, one of the things that concerns us a lot is, you know, Israel, not just, I guess, you know, there's a big pro-life movement, you know, we want to be anti-abortion, you know, which is right, but one of the things that's puzzled me is because I have went on some of the pages for all the pro-life people to let them be aware of what's happening to that child outside of the womb. And it's almost like, don't go there. And I'm thinking, don't we serve the same God that cares for the child inside the womb and outside the womb? So, you know, it's almost like we compartmentalize, and it's almost like God isn't big enough to handle. And I'm just thinking, I believe God can handle everything.
Well, you know, going back to global warming, and they're making such a big deal out of it, but global warming will affect this planet 50 to 100, 150 to 200 years in the future. ISIS takes over this globe and takes us back 2,000 years in technology. We won't have to worry about fossil fuels being burnt. So I don't know why that is such a big issue. The issue right now is human rights. That's what needs to be the big issue. And human rights can only be you know, brought to fruition or are brought under control by ethics. And where do those ethics come from is by peace-loving people. And Islam is not the religion of peace. And even those that aren't a radical, they're not doing much to fight the radical arm of Islam. To me, they're not doing enough, for sure.
And talking about the issue today, Mr. Dan, I also wonder about, you know, did I hear something about the president's speech that was saying something about, you know, I guess he was comparing the acts of the so-called Christians back in the Crusades, but I'm thinking, I think we're in the here and now. We are here today, and we are dealing with people that are cutting off heads. And I'm thinking, what was that all about? What was that comparison worthwhile for? I mean, what was that helping?
In his speech, he compared ISIS as, you know, just going through a stage like the Christians went through during the Crusades. But excuse me.
Oh, they're going to get better. Okay, they're going to get kinder. Sorry.
No, they're not, because Christendom repented for what they did. Islam has been violent since its onset and has never been not violent. It's just the way of their religion. It's always been turbulent times. That's why we have a Marine Corps. That's why Thomas Jefferson placed the Marine Corps into action, is because of the Barbary pirates, the Muslim pirates that were taking our sailors and commandeering our ships and demanding ransom money. And we were paying it for a few years, and finally we put our feet down. But there's always been something. They've come against Spain, they've come against Italy, they're constantly fighting. They have never repented of those kind of actions, killing Christians and whatever, Jews. But I can't see the comparison.
Well,
yes,
it is so sad. It's so sad to me, Mr. Dan, because I think one of the biggest problems we have today is really apathy. We are so entertained. You know, it's just you have so many choices of what to do with your time that, you know, a lot of people don't really even take the time to hear the news and find out what is really going on, and to the point that they don't even realize history is being changed. You know, there's a lot of Islamic textbooks. There's a lot of promotion of Islam in the schools now. There's a lot of promotion of things that really the majority of American people were not raised thinking. But because they're so busy being entertained, they're not even aware. And I'm thinking one thing says they're going to wake up, and it's going to be a completely different nation if we do not. But I'm praying for a miracle, and I do believe, I love this. I've been talking to Ms. Barbara about chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians, which I just really read it, 18 and 19. It just really hit me that in God there is no such thing as no, you know. And I'm thinking, well, yeah, that makes sense. The God of the universe, you know, everything is possible with him. But I think the problem is us, our attitudes, and what we do. Unfortunately, the problem is not God saying no to us. The problem has always been us. Right, Mr. Dan?
Well, yeah, it's always us. You know, we have to come out of her, according to the Revelations. Come out of her, my people. Well, what is he talking about there? It's coming out of that world system. It's the world that's distracting us. You know, we are here in this finite world with this spacesuit of flesh, and we tend to want to gratify the flesh more than gratify the spirit. And that's one of the hardest things to do, is to get control of your spirit. The only way that you can do that is to invite the Messiah into your heart, and where he can give you that Holy Spirit. And then it gives you a different way of thinking, and it helps you from being so distracted about the things of the world, because being part of his kingdom, and his kingdom is not a part of this world, and we're not a part of the world kingdom here. We're the part of his kingdom. But even for us who are the elect or spirit-filled Christians, it's hard for us to, you know, just like Paul says, my flesh does the things that I don't want it to. I desire one thing, and another thing happens. It's something that has to be on our forefront all the time. And how do we combat that is by building that relationship with the Messiah, with God, and talking to him and reading his word as much as possible so that we're not distracted by cell phones, Facebook, television, the pleasures of the world. I mean, drugs and sex and music and everything that's going on. It's that cartoon that we saw when we were, you know, young, the little angel sitting on one shoulder and the little devil sitting on the other shoulder. There's a lot of truth to that. The devil is yelling in our ear, and the little angel spirit is just, you know, very, very quiet voice whispering in our ear, and that seems to be the way it is. The world is screaming at us to come enjoy this, come do that, let's do this, let's do that. And the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. And sometimes
wow.
We have to be still.
Well, we need to do more of that. And, Mr. Dan, I am going to share you with Mrs. Barbara. And I just saw Miss Barbara come on. And I am going to...
Oh, she
is? Well, I thought I saw her come on, but then I lost her. So just hold on for a second while we try to get her. But I think that we, like somebody says, you know, it's like a tuning for a piano. We need to be tuned into God, and because if we're not, we really we won't be serving him right. We won't be helping ourselves right, or our families either. And I think that's, you know, and even the family of God, Israel, is, you know, the apple of God's eyes. And I think because we are so entertained, we're not even paying attention to what's going on over there, you know? And we need to, because, I mean, God says that, I mean, his word, that they're the apple of his eye.
Yeah, that's right. And even in our churches.
Dan, yeah. Oh, go ahead, Mr. Dan.
Is Barbara on now?
Oh, I'm going to find out. No, you go ahead and say what you were fixing to say about the church.
Well, I was just going to say that even our church, in our church services, it seems like we're so caught up in trying to feel good, trying to whip ourselves up into a spiritual high, more so than trying to actually build that relationship with God himself. I worry about that. Some of the church services that I go to is just like, and I'm not trying to counter, you know, say things bad about the church, but it seems like they're trying to get themselves whipped up into a frenzy. And to me, this is a serious time. This is time to be getting down on our knees and being humble before God and placing our petitions. Say, Lord, if we are going to have to go through these troubled times, embellish us with the power that we need to be about your business. You know, give us the strength from your Holy Spirit. And, you know, what's the Bible still say about it? That he will mount us up on eagle's wings in the last days, and young men will, I don't know, be...
Dreams. I'm thinking some different scripture here.
Well, it'll have strength that they didn't have and all that. Well, that's what we need to be praying for. We need to be given the Holy Spirit power to combat against the forces of evil right now. Every day we need to be praying on that armor of God and say, Lord, you know, help us be able to do something. What do I need to do? Who do I need to pray for? What country do I need to pray for? because we need to send as much power up to the, you know, there's war going on in the realm that we can't see between the powers of darkness and the powers of light. And if ever we need to be into fasting and intercessory prayer, it needs to be now, because we are stepping across the threshold into the what I just said a while ago, the extreme end times.
And Mr. Dan, I have to remind myself, and that scripture was a reminder from God, because it happened. I got that scripture, I think, given to me because I was very depressed. Because, you know, we're fighting this thing, Common Core, where, you know, we just see God's precious gifts to us, you know, the young people. And many of them are going to be at the age of accountability, where they're floundering. Because you cannot see their pain physically, you know, for most part. Now, some of them you will. We have heard some very, very bad things in New York, suicide, cuttings. So eventually we, you know, that will be seen too, because it's all across the country. But many parents don't know what's going on. And the most troubling thing to me is these are souls. And, you know, a lot of these are good people that bring that child to church every weekend. I mean, every Sunday, maybe even Wednesday night. But they don't realize that that child at school is being manipulated and controlled, you know, almost 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. And that has really eternal implications. And, it's not just happening in this country, because we've seen that Common Core really is something that Bill Gates and the UN shook hands on, and are making sure that it is propagated throughout the world. So it's almost like, you know, you can almost imagine a big, I shouldn't say wave, but there is a drawing of souls to the other side that many people don't even realize is happening right under their noses.
Yeah, it's... You know, they're training our children for the kind of world that they foresee in the future, the kind of world that they want to have complete power of. The one world government is what everybody seems to be shooting for in the West. Of course, the same thing's happened in Islam, and I'm sure China's got their head into figuring out some way they can control the world, and I'm sure Russia is too, but man is never going to be able to rule the world. It's gonna take God under His leadership to be one in one accord. There's no way that you're gonna get masses of people from hundreds of different nations living together in one accord, and their education being the same, and all the past history. And that's one of the things that Islam is doing in Europe right now, is they're destroying history. And you know, once Islam gets in the school systems, history, especially if it has anything to do with Christendom, is going to get ruled out. It's going to get shoved out. And how did Europe become Europe without the spread of religion and the Reformation movement out of Catholicism and all of that? And this nation here, the same thing. This nation wouldn't be what it is if it, you know, they didn't come here for freedom of religion and to get away from control. Church control and so on and so forth. Every time man gets their hands in power and leadership, corruption ensues. You know, that's why we came to this country. That's why our forefathers came here, is because the Church of England had too much power, too much control of how we are supposed to traditionally worship the Lord. But there's no way that man is gonna have one world government. There's no way you could have peace that way. And they're all fighting for it. Everybody wants that. But I like the uniqueness of individuality, and you know, I want to be able to go to France and and visit, or I want to be able to go to the Middle East and visit. I don't care if it's a Muslim nation or Israel, or if I go to Africa, I want to see the difference. I don't want to go down there and see the same thing that's going on in the rest of the world, and there's no individuality.
Well, then they sure hard to control, though, Mr. Dan. if you're that individualistic, you're hard to control.
But right now it's a good thing, but man is not going to unite this world. I don't think that it's possible because nobody's going to stand for it. The Islam's not going to stand for the UN to be in control. They're not going to stand for the EU to be in control, or us. And we're not going to want Islam in control. We're not going to want Russia or China, but we may have to subdue to China because they own us. But the Lord is going to come, and he is going to set up one world government. But I still think there ought to be diversity, but we'll be all still under his kingdom. And, of course, the laws of that kingdom will be the Holy Scriptures. And what's the most peaceful countries there's ever been is the ones that's lived under the Holy Scriptures, the law of the Holy Scriptures.
Well, Mr. Dan, you know, we've been here in the Bible Belt. You know, there's a church in almost every street corner. And what we're hearing is, you know, the left has mounted an assault, you know, and you just saw that the lawsuit against Judge Roy Moore from the Southern Poverty Law Center for standing for, you know, the same-sex marriage. And, you know, we voted for the Defense of Marriage Act, and that is being negated by the federal court system, and Judge Moore, you know, takes a stand. And I know there's a movement there. We're hoping that pastors will stand along with Judge Moore. I think there's a movement that's coming up in support of him. And so we hope that pastors will take a stand. I don't know if you've heard of that, Mr. Dan, with the Gideons. I'm sure if the Gideons knew about that they would stand with Judge Moore. Have you heard about that?
Yeah. Starting Monday, they're going to be able to issue the license. But if a probate is a Christian, he doesn't have to marry the same sex. He has to, by law, issue the marriage certificate, but he doesn't have to marry him. They'll have to go find somebody else to marry him. But I don't even see how it got that far, because we as voters voted against these kind of things, and how an unvoted appointed judge can supersede the public's vote. I don't understand that. I'm just not politically
yeah.
educated, but how that ever came about, I don't know, and it should have never been allowed. That should have been voted down when whoever that idea. There shouldn't be federal judge. Every state is supposed to be sovereign, and then we are united with the rest of the states in power to the nation. But our states are supposed to be sovereign in their laws.
Well, it's become a land of tyranny all over again, hasn't it? I mean, when the will of the people is being negated like this by a few people, again, I think, you know, we're falling back in the hands of tyranny. But I thank God there is something that Congress can do about it. I guess people are just going to have to really work hard. But, you know, there's been talk for a long time about the Congress limiting the powers of the judiciary in certain matters. And so I'm hearing that's cropping up again with this, you know, marriage issue. So I do feel like something is going to come now, because I think this is like the final straw. You know, I just, it's not going to stay, because people are so angry about this. Like never before. I think every state is angry about the fact that, you know, their Defense of Marriage Act is being ignored, and the will of the people is being ignored. So, but it, like you said, it takes a lot of prayer, Mr. Dan, but I think that's the part that people's got to remember is, you know, God is God. And when we look at the history of Israel, we know the power of God is very real, because Israel is a sign for the times. I mean, for Israel to be where it's at right now, a state, that's something that's over, that's almost, every time you think about it, I think it's overwhelmed you because you really see the magnitude of, you know, that is God's hand for that people to be even, you know, in a country of their own at this time.
Yeah, it's a miracle in itself that they have survived as long as they have and still are surviving. But it's just crazy. Well, it's not crazy. It's God ordained. You know, the way God protects them out of all the thousands and thousands of rockets that's been fired into Israel by Hamas and Fatah, that 90. I think it was 98.something% of them have hit in open areas, and yet Israel is one of the most congested, populated places in the Middle East. It's just like God steers these missiles away from hurting people, and they will admit it themselves. The Arab newspapers will say that their God, the Jewish God, is on their side protecting them. That ought to open their eyes, but it doesn't seem to be doing so. But everything about prophecy revolves around Israel. That's what God chose them for. They're a sign to all the people of the world. You know, it's a very prophetic thing. Who ever heard of such a thing? Who ever heard of a nation becoming a nation in one day? And who ever heard of a nation that's going to find their God and their salvation all in one day? Israel was chosen to be a sign to the world, to keep an eye on them and to look at them and know that there is such thing as a God. God revealed himself through the children of Israel. He chose Abraham, which wasn't a Jew, who was a Gentile, and pulled him out of the era of the Chaldees, out of paganism, out of idol worship, and formed himself a body of people, a nation, to be a sign to the world, to be the priests of the nations, but yet knowing ahead of time and prophesying that he would divorce them and cast them into the nations, but that he would forgive them and bring them back after 2,000 years, and the generation of people that see that in the world to be ready, because the generation that sees that will be the ones to see him come in his return in power and glory. But yet the people of Israel don't understand and believe that themselves because their eyes haven't been opened.
Oh, but one day, as you've said, God is such a magnificent God. And I just think, too, Mr. Jan, you know, there is, like the scripture says, there is no nay in him. It is all yea and amen. And I'm thinking, I guess the other part of this coin or this drama that we're seeing with even something as violent as ISIS is really the fact that there's got to be Muslims thinking, you know, is this what I really want to serve? Is this kind of religion the one that is worthy? And I would think that with all this technology now, there's more information and more people. You know, I'm hearing about the power of the satellite and all these, you know, Christian broadcasting that's going on all over the world. They're growing. And so I'm thinking, you know, the other side of that coin is, with all that violence, there's got to be a lot of questions on the other side. Even I would think with Jordan, I mean, when you see the price that one pays for this mindset, you know, I would think that there's a lot of people that we're not hearing that is questioning their so-called faith.
Yeah, and... Well, if you think about it, the sad thing about that one Jordanian pilot that was burned to death, that's nothing compared to the atrocities that they've committed that we haven't gotten upset about. The defiling of the children, the raping of the young girls, and the beheading of children, and the stealing the Boko Haram, the taking the 200 Christian girls out of school, and all these other things. What does it take to get us fired up? But it took one pilot for one nation to get fired up. But everybody needs to get fired up about what's going on with ISIS, and it needs to be stopped, and it needs to be done right away. But nobody seems to want to do anything about it.
Well, it may be that, you know, this is something that can be held up to, I think, you know, I think a lot of people in this country is just waiting for 2016. It's almost there's nothing going, you know, that should be happening. But I think what's happened with this is that it's something that can be held up to the face of the legislator who has been cowardly in the past. And so, and I think that's what's happening to the President Obama right now. He's under a lot of pressure because now, you know, because of the reaction of the King of Jordan, which was the right reaction, is like, you know, where are you in the defense of your people? You know, it's like, oh, I'm golfing. I'm playing golf.
Yeah, I had a captain came into my shop today and getting something framed, and I told him I appreciated his service, but I'm sorry for the commander-in-chief that he had to, you know, sign at this particular time. And he made the comment that it's the military and the men that he knows and everybody around him seems to be just waiting for 2016. They're tolerating these years that they've had to go through with him. And that's sad. To me, that is a sad thing, that our commander-in-chief just cares less about our military than any other president that I know of in history that I'm aware of.
Well, he seems to care less about his people than any president we've ever had. And it's a very sad state of affairs, but I thank God for the gift of prayer that God has given us to come boldly to the throne of grace. And I know what we talked about. Unfortunately, all things not good. You know, we can't talk about good things all the time because that's not reality. But there is the other side of the coin. There is the reality of God said to give it to him in prayer. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And that the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. So we have that hope, and it's like really the battle is the Lord's, but we do have a part to play, not even play. It's a very serious thing that we do, and we have families. We have families to make sure that, you know, they know the Lord. And so, you know, there's just really a lot of things going on, Mr. Dan, but would you mind praying for the people? Because I think, you know, it's kind of overwhelming. You know, there's so many things, but I thank God that he is a big God, and he said give everything to him, right? He didn't say just give one thing. He didn't say just give this issue to him. He really said to give everything to him in prayer. So, you know, let's do maybe certain nights of the week. You know, you might want to write you a chart. Okay, tonight I'm going to cover this. Tomorrow night, I'm going to cover that. You know, the next night, you got 7 nights. And if you even include the morning prayers, and you know, you might could really cover a whole lot. Because I think, you know, we hear the stories in Afghanistan and Iraq of the soldiers when, you know, they heard later someone was praying just at the nth time, and here's this cloud of dust that suddenly appears, right? The wind blows, and it shows all these mines, field mines. I mean, we've heard of miracles after miracles for when that timely prayer. So maybe, you know, we need to be very, very serious about what we pray for, because it does matter to God. I mean, it is, he doesn't need our money, and he doesn't really even need our prayer, but I think we need it. We need to pray.
Yeah, I agree. And we need to pray for our president and our government, we need to pray for ISIS. We need to pray for our enemy. Jesus taught that. It's hard to do, and you don't know what to pray for when you're praying for something that they're trying to fight consciously. But we have to. You know, I pray for my president. I pray for Obama, and I say, Lord, our first black president. Why couldn't he have been the best president we've ever had to be a, you know, an example to the black populace in this country to stimulate them and get them excited. But and we got to keep doing that. We got to keep praying that somehow his eyes will be opened. And I don't know what to pray for, to be honest with you. I just ask the Lord to heap coals on his head and wake him up. But God has got him in power for a reason, and we have to accept that reason. There's a reason he's there. He's to fulfill a very important thing for the end time prophecies to be, to come together and be fulfilled as they unfold.
Yes, Mr. And also, I think there is a concentrated, purposely driven blindness going on, and I think it's everywhere from the highest to the high positions to the lowest of low, and in the midst of it, I hate to even say, even the most trusted people who would not harm children for the most part, many in our education field are blind. So if you don't mind, would you pray pray as God leads you. It is a lot of big problems, but I thank God is a big God, and I thank God that you know about this, the history of the Jewish nation, and you know the end of the story. And so if you don't mind closing with an invitation for those that do not know how important the end of the story is for them too, I think we need to share that before we go, Mr. Dan, just in case. They're not promised tomorrow.
That's right. It's we're here on this planet to make a choice who to serve. We either serve light or we serve darkness. We serve good or we serve evil. We serve God and his Messiah, his Son, God becoming flesh himself. Do we serve him, the creator of the universe, or do we serve somebody who was cast out of heaven? Who is trying to be deceitful and a liar and trying to distort the kingdom of God and trying to exalt himself above God. We have to make a choice, and we only have one attempt at it. We only have one life to live, and after that comes judgment. So anyone out there that's listening who hasn't given your heart to the Lord or asked the Lord for a relationship, to just test him to see who he is. If you've tried the world, you've given the world a chance and it hasn't worked out for you. So give God a chance by accepting his Son, which is the good news, the gospel, that he died for you to take your punishment upon himself that you wouldn't have to endure for the transgressions of the law, the sins that we commit. And he has forgiven us for that already, for all the sins we've ever done, and all the sins we'll ever commit. All we have to focus on is loving him with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength, and our neighbor as ourself. It's all about servitude and love for one another, and accepting his sacrificial death on the cross, shedding his blood for your sins, and resurrecting 3 days later, so that he was the first fruits of the resurrection, and we will be resurrected like him in the last days to live forever in a kingdom that's nothing but peace and love and harmony. No violence, no evil, no killing, no hatred, no tears shed for bad things. And that's my choice. I choose to serve God. And I've served the world long enough in the past, and now I have chosen God, and I know it's the right decision. So anyone that hasn't made a decision, try life, try light. And Lord, I just ask you to reach down and touch hearts of anyone who's listening tonight or who will listen in the future. Father, I ask you to open their hearts, open their minds, and open their eyes to your kingdom and your love and your compassion and your grace. And Father, we just ask you to fill their hearts with joy and love and peace and prepare them for the tribulation that's coming upon this planet, Father, right before your return. And Father, we know that you have promised us 1,000 years of reign just to prepare us for your kingdom, for heaven, and just be a paradise, Father. We look so forward to you as our King. And Father, I just pray for this world everything that's going on. Protect the body of Christ, wherever they may be, those children that are innocent on the front lines against Islam, Father, that are being slaughtered and raped and maimed. Lord, just give them strength to endure the persecutions that they're having to suffer. And, Father, we ask you to be with the Jews all over the world, because anti-Semitism seems to be running rampant, Father. We ask you to protect them and protect the little nation of Israel, and protect Jerusalem. Watch over your people, Father. And, Lord, we just ask your spirit to move across this globe and to open hearts and to save souls. And Father, we just turn all of our situations over to you. We're not strong enough to take control of all the problems in the world right now. We know that you have a plan and you're in control. But, Father, we know that you like to hear our communication and our petitions before you and our concerns. And, Father, my concern is about human rights. And, Father, I ask you to protect the innocent and punish the guilty, Father. Open the eyes of ISIS and those that are violent, and Boko Haram and Hamas and Fatah and Hezbollah and all these radical groups, Father. Open their eyes to the truth. Give them visions in the night, Father, if it takes that, Father. We just ask for your mercy and grace and your understanding, Father, and to give hope where hope is needed, to give compassion where compassion is needed, and love where love is needed, and grace where grace is needed. Father, we just thank you and praise you for all that you do in our lives. We ask you to bless the kingdom of your kingdom, Father, and your body, and you as our head. And we ask you to bless those and lead those that are searching to the light. Lord, we just praise you and thank you once again for all that you do. Order our footsteps daily. Lift the stumbling blocks and the stones out of our way so that we can concentrate on living for you and serving you as our King. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Mr. Dan. And we will have you again hopefully in a couple weeks, if you don't mind. I just really think that a lot of people are hungry. And I know that I think you were going to try to see if you can get some of your friends to come on. So if you can, great. If not, I'll be on. But I think we do need to hear more from you and your perspective. And again, we need to be looking for the sign of the times. And I love it when you teach us, Mr. Fraley, which I didn't let you do too much of that tonight. But anyway, we'll try it again in 2 weeks. And so God bless you.
And God listeners, bless you.
I hope you were blessed too. Good night.